Hello and welcome back to the Finding Your Peak podcast, a podcast show dedicated to helping you get closer to your true authentic self by helping you find your feet in life.
Everybody on this planet has their own team unseen. They're a guiding force that's helping us through life. Everything is possible. Everything. So we can, through manifestation, we can create a life that we want, and through manifestation, we could also create a life we don't want. The soul is not emotional. So, I mean, I often say to people that you wouldn't, if you knew what your journey, life journey was going to be, you know, half of us wouldn't come out of the womb. We'd be, oh, no, not for me. I'm not coming out.
Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. Those clips were taken from today's episode where we are joined by the lovely Elaine Mary Collins. Elaine is a tarot reader, a life inspirer, spiritual growth mentor, wisdom sharer, and heart math coach. And you, if you're a regular listener of the podcast, then you are familiar with Elaine because me and Abby have had tarot readings done by Elaine before. And when we had our first ever ones like a few months ago, every single podcast episode after that, we kept bringing it up. Elaine did this. We kept talking about it. So if you remember that, then this is the woman. We've got her on the podcast today, and we're talking all about tarot reading and how it works, her experience with it, what it's for, how it can help you. We're talking about manifesting, we're talking about up-leveling your life, we're talking about how to love yourself more, we're just talking about all the vibes. Very spiritual episode today.
Yeah, it's like everything we love. Like, I just couldn't wait to chat with Elaine as well, because when we had our sessions with her, they were life-changing and so, so uplifting and inspiring. So we couldn't wait to like pick her brains on everything we like are dying to know.
Yeah, she's a really nice, happy, high vibration. So you're going to leave this episode feeling inspired, feeling uplifted, and feeling equipped with the tools to manifest some new cool shit into your life. But just one last thing. I actually have a little present for you guys. I've got a gift. This is not an ad. This is just a gift from us to you. So you guys are probably familiar with Estelle Bingham. She's a holistic healer. We've mentioned her quite a lot on the podcast because Abby works very closely with her, but she's also been on our podcast too. You guys have probably listened to that episode where we interviewed her, but she's hosting an event very soon in London. It's actually on Sunday, the 9th of October at One Marylebone. And it's a day of alchemical magic and manifestation. It's going to be unreal. There's going to be cacao ceremonies joined by amazing guests who you guys love. Roxy Nafusi, the Manifesting Queen, Lisa Donovan, Kagi Dunlop, who we've also had on the show as well, and Denise Lester, who's going to be hosting some amazing healing sound baths. But it's going to be a day full of fun. Me and Abby are going as well, so we would love to see some of you guys there. And we've actually got you a massive, humongous discount off the ticket price. So the code you need to use is PODCASTLOVE, all lowercase. I've left in the show notes and the link to buy. And actually, if you're listening to this on the day the podcast comes out, Wednesday the 28th of September, you've actually got 2 days left to get the early bird access as well. So you're going to get an extra discount with early bird, but this code is going to get you £40 off the ticket. So if you get it in time with the early bird, the ticket's only going to cost you £55. So you want to take advantage of this amazing offer. We would absolutely love to see some of you guys there. Like I said, me and Abby are both going to be there. So yeah, come and join us. And don't forget to use the code PODCASTLOVE. Left the link in the show notes. Do send us a DM if you want to know anything else or if you're going to come. But that's all for now. We will jump into the chat with Elaine now.
Okay, I'd just like to start by welcoming the amazing Elaine Collins onto our show. Me and Grace have both worked with Elaine and absolutely loved our session, so we were so excited to get you onto the show. If you could please just start by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about what you do.
Sure. Thank you. First off, thank you very much, both of you, for inviting me on here. It's always lovely to share information, wisdom sharing, I call it, with people. So thank you for this opportunity. Lovely to be here. Bit about me. Well, I work as a tarot reader, but I kind of see it more as I am an inspirer. I like to feel that whatever I sense or whatever I work with, the information that I get through, I feel is coming working through me for my client, for you. And so I tend to think of my job as being inspirational, helping people to have clarity and to give them some guidance if they're feeling a bit lost in life. And I live in Ibiza, on the island of Ibiza, and I moved here just over 20 years ago, having come from a corporate background, you could say, and realizing that that wasn't for me anymore. I'd done my bit, thoroughly enjoyed it, traveled all over the world, but really wanted to concentrate on doing my healing work or intuitive work and developing myself. So I decided, you know, at that point, I thought, right, okay, this is where I'm going to dive into working full time, ultimately, to work full time in what I'm doing. And so for me, I feel that the tarot reflects our life experiences. So it's in pictorial form. There are 78 cards in a tarot deck, and each of those cards represent the human condition, what we can go through, our life experiences. And some of those cards can look pretty scary. I mean, if you think about it, the number of times on a film or in a movie where the death card comes out or the tower and everyone goes, ah! But actually, if you know the tarot really well, you know sometimes those cards are meant for great transformation in our life. And if they are inspiring change, it can be change that ultimately, when we look back on it, we might really think, we might be thankful about that change. So I don't feel there's anything to be scared of in the tarot, because basically it's only as good as of the person whose hands are using the tarot. So somebody with a great deal of experience and empathy for people might be better than somebody who really is just using it for fortune telling purposes and impact and drama. So I think if you use it more as a tool to help people, then that to me is the wonder and the mystery and the beauty of the tarot.
I love your sessions. You're also you're famous on our podcast, Elaine, because after me and Abby, after we came and had our first ever session with you, we did it at the same time because Abby did it, and then she was telling me all about it. I was like, oh my gosh, I need to go and do this. So I went, and then we kept bringing it up in every single podcast episode after that, not on purpose. Like, it just kept coming into conversation because the session was so inspiring and like impactful. Oh, on
thank
both.
You.
So we started making a joke that we were like, we need to make an Elaine drinking game or something, because we can't even say Elaine in the podcast. So all the listeners, they're going to be like, wow, I'm finally getting to put a voice, a face to this, the name of mysterious Elaine that they kept talking about for weeks.
Very kind.
So, yeah, no, your sessions, they're so fun and inspiring and, yeah, really, really fun. But what do you love the most about like the type of tarot readings you do?
I meet such diverse people, and they're a blessing to me, because they very often, and I think many people that work as therapists or who work intuitively or psychically will say this, that very often our clients can often mirror situations we've experienced ourselves. Or maybe at the time we're going through that thing, and you can always think, oh my God, these cards could be mine. So many, and when I talk to other people that do it, that that they'll say the same thing. And so a client, or whoever we work with, I don't like to call them a client, you know, usually it's a co-creation that happens between us. Because I've got what I call my team unseen, and they're my guides, my energy forces that are working with me. Some people might want to call them angels, ancestors that could be working with me on a spiritual vibration, higher energy forces that can work with us as well. I've got one, but so have you too. You've got your own individual team unseen, and everybody I work with, everybody on this planet has their own team unseen. They're a guiding force that's helping us through life. We may not always feel their presence, but sometimes we do. And, you know, we can sometimes, you know, I don't know how many times you've gone for a walk and you've picked up a feather on the floor and you've said, ah, oh, there's an angel. You know, very often they show us through signs, symbology, number repetition, you know, 11, 11, 22, 22. Very often you can see that the universe is working to give us a message, or we keep seeing the same thing, like on an advert on a bus or something like that as it goes by. We keep seeing the same thing. It's often got a message. Sometimes spirit have to get through to us in very subtle ways. And other times they think, great, the person's going to see somebody, whether it's a healer, a numerologist, somebody does astrology, somebody like myself that does the tarot. And we've got now a more direct way of giving the person a message. So I see myself as a, you could say, like the middleman, you know, but my team unseen is always in conversation with whoever I'm working with, because their team unseen is going to say, we need her or him to know what, you know, we need them to know this. So great, they've come to see you and you can then pass on the message.
Yeah, I love that nickname of Team Unseen.
Yeah, me too.
What if some people listening, they, you know, like you said about the repeating numbers and stuff, like angel numbers are a really common thing. Yes. And like on social media, on like TikTok and stuff like that, people are really into like, what do angel numbers mean and all of that. If somebody's listening is like, oh, I never see angel numbers, or I never see these signs or synchronicities, like how can they start to like become aware of their Team Unseen, or what can they do to kind of like open their awareness to maybe like their sort of like guides and stuff like that, that might be trying to like give them signs?
But do you know what? Ask directly. Just go within. Just even if like, I remember when I was quite young, a wonderful energy force that has been working with me throughout my life actually said to me, because a lot of people say, oh, I've got a Native American guide, or I've got a Japanese guide, or, you know, or a nun. You know, a lot of people who are into this work or are interested in this work will often go and see somebody that says, oh, I can see that you've got this kind of guide with you. My guidance actually said to me, I'll be whatever you want me to be. And he did this whole thing with his hands. I say he because he appeared as a man, with his hands, and he changed face. And he said, "Where? How would you like to receive the wisdom, Elaine? What would you like me to look like so you feel comfortable to have the information that I want to share with you?" So I know that basically I'm working its energy, and I've asked to connect to it. I've actually consciously said, who are you? What are you? And I guess I ask those questions quite early in life. And but we can all do it now. You can do it. You can sit and you can actually say, you know, share something about you with me. It may be a feeling that comes over you, a feeling of love, or a sense of appreciation, a sense of appreciation for even you asking about them, you know, because if you then start to connect with them through perhaps a meditation practice, or through a meditation development group or psychic development group, if you wish to, you can then start to become aware that you're not alone. You never have been, and you never will be.
That is beautiful.
Love that.
Yeah, I would love to know more about your transition into becoming a tarot reader. So, like, as you were growing up, have you always had psychic gifts? Have you always been connected to your Team Unseen?
Yes.
Or is this something you developed later in life?
I know that I've always been connected to them, even before I came here, because we all kind of like work in soul clusters. And so therefore many times, you know, we're coming into this earth to reincarnate again. We've had a soul cluster in the background that we've been perhaps not in the body, but we're still working together in some way. So for me, this is when I first developed, I was very lucky because my mother is also in this work. She's a healer, reader, and she's in her 80s, just finished a book. I'm very proud of my mum. And she is, so she had this interest, and we used to, and she got a tarot deck, and I just thought, oh, I like those. I like the pictures. They're nice. So she got me a tarot deck, and basically that's how I started to learn. She taught me what she knew. And then, of course, I've gone on to work the way I work and learn other things. I actually took courses and things like that. So it's always been there. I mean, I was always kind of a little bit different, I suppose. But I always believed in spirit. I always believed that there were other forces out there. I guess I came in with that knowledge. And for me, I call it a process of remembering who we are. When we awaken to knowledge, it's just remembering who we are.
That's beautiful. And when, like, as you were growing up, if you kind of always knew you had those gifts and you were always connected to spirit, did you ever come across, like, any obstacles? Was there anything that you kind of come up against when you were developing those psychic gifts? Like, I do always envision when I think of psychics and I think, like, how do you kind of learn the boundaries, you know, to kind of, like, read particular people? Like, I imagine, like, if you're in public, when you were growing up, did you get, like, energies coming for you or, like, towards you?
Yes.
Like, did you have the boundaries, things like that?
Yeah. I learned very, an experience early on. I guess I was about 19 and it was through my arrogance. It was through my arrogance. Basically, I thought I had all this knowledge. I was going to lots of different meetings, experiencing a lot of, information coming through, very wise people. I used to belong to the Theosophical Society. I was a member of the Rosicrucians. These were all kind of like mystical schools, if you like. Mystical thought schools, and so therefore I thought I knew it all, and so I was, and I thought, oh, I'm very well protected. Nothing's going to get to me, and I then had experience when I met somebody, and I felt as if I'd been punched in the solar plexus, and I actually, because the energy that was coming from was really harsh, really quite hard energy, not very nice energy at all, and. To me, instead of feeling, I went away from that actually, feeling not so much upset that they'd done that to me, but actually more upset with myself for being so arrogant. And it made me realise that don't be arrogant about this work, Elaine. Always be humble. You never know whether or not you come across something that could be challenging. All you need to do is just be aware and be ready and to do the best you can to protect your energy field. So that was probably the only thing. Otherwise, I'll be honest with you, my experiences working in this life, doing this work, have been wonderful, I have to say. I really am, you know, I love doing what I do. I'm very happy. I'm following my bliss doing this work. And if I'm happy doing this work, I only hope that the people that I work with come out of the experience also feeling uplifted or happy or buoyant. Perhaps they had a lot of challenges at the beginning of the session. They felt as if life was really challenged. That's why they booked in to see me. And I hope by the end of that session, they feel a little more empowered with their life, that actually they are the change that they need to make so that the external world then changes around them. So I have to say my experience, I really haven't had a lot of negative experience. I know there are lots of, you could say, negative energy out there, but I don't give it the time of day, to be honest. I don't really, it's like that's not actually going to do me any favours being in that energy. So why be there? So I'd rather concentrate on being in this positive, higher vibration energy.
Yeah, no, I love that. You definitely do feel that, as well as, like, you know, speaking from someone who's done a session with you before, like, you do leave after and you're like, got this great insight, but you've also definitely got this uplifting energy and sign of like optimism for the future, because yeah, you just bring that to your session. So I love that. But what would you say if there's anybody out there that would like to learn, like, how to use tarot, like, can they do it themselves? Like, where would they start?
Well, there's a lot of online courses now. And I get people all the time saying to me, when are you going to do a course? Well, I haven't got a lot of time, to be honest, to really devote to it, because I would, you know, I'd want it to be very in-depth and to talk about esoteric and metaphysical subjects as well, because the tarot has that element to it. So it wouldn't be like a surface, you know, like a superficial learning of the tarot. But to go and learn, there are lots of places. I like the Centre of Excellence portal, which is really good for learning anything around the holistic work field. And it might be, I think they have got tarot courses on there, but you can actually just Google and find one that actually you can do a beginner's course. You could also, so that you don't get too overwhelmed by it, you could probably get a couple of books as well to help you through the tarot. Tarot Made Easy is one good little, it's a good little book actually. It's called Tarot Made Easy, which I think if you're an experienced tarot reader, you'll laugh about that. But it is actually quite a good little book. And it's actually quite a big book. And also the Tarot Handbook, which is an exceptional book. I really love that by Angelou Zarian. So you can buy these books. And that the Tarot Handbook actually is incorporating tarot, astrology and numerology. So it's kind of a really well-rounded if you're interested in all those things. Then if you get to do your online course, you can then, there's lots of tarot groups on Facebook and Instagram and things like that. And people will post, oh, I've just got the Five of Swords out 3 times in a row. Oh God, what does it tell me? And you'll get a load of people that will give you a meaning about it. And so they can help you. So, you can, if you wish, just buy a set of tarot. And one of the suggestions I'd make about that is if you go onto Google and just go into images of tarot and think, I like that one, that calls me. If you want to start a deck, I'd always say Rider Waite or Morgan Greer. Very easy to interpret cards, but there are lots of really new, beautiful cards that are out there, card decks out there. I personally use the Druid Craft deck. I love it. I'm kind of, if you like, Druid philosophy is very influential in my life. And so I like to use their cards because I'm very, very much love nature, appreciate nature. And I find nature very spiritual. And so really, just whatever you feel, what your heart is saying, that's the deck for me. I'll choose that. And then just start to learn. Another thing, just to also add to that, is that get a journal and call it your tarot journal. And you may have explanations that are in the book. And part of developing your psychic ability or your intuitive ability, and this is why I think it's important, is when you look at the card, what do you feel? What does it say to you? Because there's a meanings that people write down. There are some meanings that in every tarot deck you buy, every tarot book, they're more or less going to say it means this. So there's a few that might have slightly different interpretations of it, but most people will say similar things for the same card. But then I also like to encourage people to actually, what do you feel that card means to you? Because you're developing your own intuitive connection to it. And that makes a difference from just reading from the book or a lesson in how to learn tarot, and then to really know your craft, to become a tarot expert. It's a combination of knowledge of what the cards mean and then your own gift of how you can interpret them.
That is really, really good advice for anyone that is looking to get into tarot. So thank you for that.
Have you been feeling a little bit under the weather, a bit not great, not feeling yourself, not feeling motivated, feeling a bit down, maybe feel a bit anxious, and you feel like you want someone to talk to you, but you just don't know where to turn? I have the perfect solution for you. That is BetterHelp, and BetterHelp are a professional, secure online counseling service. So wherever you are in the world right now, you can access therapy, you can get the support you need from your own private, personal, licensed, highly qualified counselor online. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't need to do anything scary. You don't need to go and sit in an awkward waiting room. You don't need to do anything that's going to make you feel unsettled. You can literally sit in the comfort of your own home and have the professional support from a therapist. So however you want to work, they'll work around you. If you want to schedule video calls with your therapist, you can do that. Or if you'd rather just do audio calls, that's fine. But if you don't even want to talk on the phone at all, but you still want to get therapy, you still want to get support, you can actually just work with the therapist in the chat box on their private server, who's all really private and secure, done through BetterHelp. And BetterHelp are giving our listeners a 10% discount off your first month of therapy. So that's off the entire month. That's 4 sessions that you'll get in a month, and you're going to get 10% off that. So if you head to the link betterhelp.com, that is betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet, you will get 10% off your entire first month of therapy. The link has been left in our show notes, and it's super easy to sign up. You just fill out a really quick questionnaire about who you are and what your needs, what is it that you'd like to get help with. Even if you're not even really sure what that is, just write down how you're feeling, and within 48 hours you will get matched up with your perfect licensed therapist. But that's all for now. Let's get back into the chat with Elaine.
During like your experience of a tarot reading, like I know you've been doing it for a lot of years, so you're like really advanced now, but like, what is the experience like? How do you interpret messages? Do you get like visions? Is it just from the cards? We're also wondering then, like, when somebody shows up to a reading maybe that you've not worked with before, like, can you read their energy? Can you read kind of like what they need to hear, if that makes sense?
Yeah. Because what I feel is a really nice safe buffer, because I'm not about to try and invade other people's energy space. I think there's a rudeness in that, actually. I'm not here to read their mind. That's nothing to do with me. That's why when I say I work with my team unseen, they're working with theirs. And between them, between the two conversations that are going on in the energy field, I'm going to get what I need to tell them. It comes instantaneously. I don't cock my head to one side and wait for a message to come through. It's an instantaneous transmission, faster than the speed of light. So I just say the words. That's all I'm here to do, is to say the words, to look at the pictures that they then bring, a kind of like, it's like a vision that goes on inside my head. You could say it's like a movie that keeps rolling. It's just a movie that keeps rolling. And then I know people would like to, they come into reading sometimes wanting to know specific things, like, am I going to find a boyfriend, or my love life's been so terrible, or, you know, or I really don't like my career and I really want to change it. But I really find this is the interesting thing about this, is when we start to really go into the session, that the person, then it's actually more than that. There's a deep-rooted thing that's, you could say, a self-limiting belief that's holding them back. And the tarot will show this. Tarot will show where you're hurting. It will show where you've been emotionally abandoned in your life. You know, perhaps, you know, you haven't had the best of childhoods, or you've had relationships that don't seem to last. And, you know, it all really stems back to the self. So it usually then becomes, the session deepens into, how do they feel about themselves? Because how they feel about themselves is going to influence all of that, whether or not they've got a lousy job, or whether they've got relationships that just seem to be going wrong all the time. It will always go back to some hurt, some wound, some limiting self-belief, some part of themselves they don't accept. And the tarot goes into this. And so it's not just like, oh, you're going to have a job, or you're going to meet this, you know, tall, dark, handsome stranger, you know. So it starts like, it's like an onion, and you start to peel back the layers, and then you find where the problem, the root of whatever the problem is. And then when you show somebody something like that, they go, oh, and it's a breakthrough moment for them. So they can see, you know, I've had that limiting self-belief. That's the thing that's really held me back. The most that I found that people have trouble with is loving themselves, that they don't believe they are love. And one of the things which I may have explained to either one of you or both of you was that we are from a frequency. There's a frequency that's created everything. So it's universal energy, and this energy is what we call love here on Earth. It might be called something else out in Sirius or Andromeda or wherever, but here on this Earth, we identify that energy as love. And we are it, and it is us, because we are made from it. And one of the biggest illusions in this world is that we are separate. You know, in fact, that we are all connected to everything. We are it, it is us. One of the hardest things for people to believe in, especially a lot of young women, you know, is that they are love, that they are this frequency. And when we start to go into the heart energy, we can move in. I always do a technique with people when I start my sessions because I get the heart, the heart's intelligence, you know, activated. And when we do that, and they start to breathe into the energy of the heart and they tell themselves, I am love. And when they breathe out, that they actually then share who they are with all of us, that they are love, they are changing and transforming their energy field. And when they start to do this and they do it regularly, every day they remember who they are, they go into the heart, they breathe in and out of their heart, they remind themselves, I am love. When they breathe out, they share who they are, I am love. They are going to transform their life. And it may sound a really daft little thing to do. It's not. It's actually very, very essential transformation work. And it's free. It doesn't cost you anything to do this, but it is so transformational when we do it every day, because the universe, by the law of attraction, will respond to that transmission that you're sending out. And it's saying, great, here's somebody who knows who they are. So we can help them because they're going to start manifesting on this vibration in their life.
Wow. We're in your sessions, it's true. It's not like you come in and you're like, you just tell them, like whoever you're seeing, like everything that's going to happen in the future. You in the tarot session, you do get revealed to you kind of what you need to know, even in terms of like pain. So, because I remember when I came to you, I had no expectations of what the session was going to be like. So, you know, that Abby had a great time and I was like, well, I want to have a go. So I came, and then when we were chatting, you were revealing things to me about like things that I, in terms of like energy and protecting my energy, that I had no idea of where, you know, anyone was kind of like infiltrating into it and like causing me pain to a point where I need to be like intentional about my energy. Like it's even just, you hear like healing things that you need to know that you would have been really hard for like your like conscious brain to ever like put together. Yeah. After the session with you were telling me about as well the diamond light energy and yes, that sort of like protection energy. And then ever since you told me about that, I went like straight away after the session, went and bought myself a crystal that to me looked like a diamond. It's this tiny little crystal that would just remind me of that diamond light energy, because you were saying just be in it and then it's just there, like you sure don't need to turn it on and off all the sure time. So I've had this little crystal on my windowsill ever since. But like even just from that coming up in the tarot, talking about that energy, it then completely yeah like protected me from the thing that was revealed to me in the tarot, where it was like someone intruding on my energy. Like you get to know all these things that you never sure would have thought you were going to learn in the tarot. It's also like you people will experience that, which is amazing. But I also really want to know, so when you're getting these messages like from, you know, your team unseen and theirs are communicating, and like I said, it's coming through, it's like a movie and you're just basically channeling out the words, what are these messages like based on like that person's current energy field? Because obviously I've just said there, you were telling them, we spoke about things of like how I could actually protect myself, you know, more pain points, healing, things like that, as well as obviously we spoke about things of this is coming in the future and more things that were specific to the next like coming 6, 8 months. So obviously like we were talking about like things that could come in the future, but if I wanted to, could I change, like what you're saying, when you see, and I have to explain this, that sounded confusing, like
I know what you're getting at though. Yeah,
yeah, when you're getting the messages from someone, because yeah, you know, some people will be a bit skeptical as well, like about like how would yeah you know that's yeah in the future, whatever, like you could tell someone you're getting a message that they're going to have, you know, great success in their career in the coming months, whatever, but then could they go and change their course of action that you've kind of predicted then and got the message about? Sure. If they go and sabotage it, or like how much yeah of our life is like written in the stars as well? Like what's the kind of like balance between that? Like, because yeah I know that me and you as well, we spoke about soul contracts, because you recommended the book to me called Billy Fingers, which I read and I loved it. And it's just such a nice yeah story to kind of help you understand like what's actually going on in terms of how we're not alone and what happens kind of after we die and all that stuff. Like it was a really great book to read. But yes, yeah, so how much of our life basically is kind of written in the stars, that soul contract element, and then how much actually could things be in our potential, but then, you know, we could actually like sabotage it, if you know what I mean.
Well, if we look at if we look from the at it through the universal mind, everything is possible. Everything. So we can through manifestation we can create a life that we want, and through manifestation we could also create a life we don't want, you know, by our thoughts and our feelings. So we have a lot of free will. There are certain things, though, that if you could say that are they part of our destiny, if you like, that we do kind of pre-plan, like if we have children, because there are other souls involved that are part of it. It's a bit of like, you get a cluster of souls together that say, right, okay, we're going to marry, or we're going to have a long relationship. And some other souls are saying, yeah, for our life experience to experience X, Y, and Z, we're coming in, we're going to be your child or children. And you've already, you know, there's always the parents, our parents that we choose. This is sometimes a very odd concept for people that have a very difficult childhood. But the soul is not emotional. So, I mean, I often say to people that you wouldn't, if you knew what your life journey was going to be, you know, half of us wouldn't come out of the womb. We'd, oh, no, not for me, I'm not coming out. However, because we're thinking emotionally as human beings in form. However, when we no longer need this body, we've decided, you know, when we're going to leave, the soul is not in that emotion. It doesn't feel emotion like that. It is just collecting experiences. I always liken the soul to like a juggernaut. It's just going on all the time. It's just rolling through, having lots of experiences in this dimension, possibly in many others, because if we look at quantum reality, who's to say this is just it, that there may be many different other realities. And the soul, being as it is, can have multiple experiences, possibly concurrently. But we are living in this. I am Elaine. Okay? You know, you're Grace and Abby. So it's kind of like, we have this dimensional reality. And in this dimensional reality, of course, the soul is, as the juggernaut says, I need experiences. Your soul has said, soul is saying, I want this set of experiences. And then we have the free will aspects of it as well. So somewhere, even if we say, I'm going to go left instead of right, okay, when you go left, you'll have a set of experiences that your soul wanted you to experience. But it may be different faces, might be different people. It'd be a situation, not a person, but it brings up loss or tragedy or fear or a disease or something. When our soul says, I want to experience these things, we can turn left or right and have lots of different people, different faces, sliding doors, energy. But the experiences the soul says, that's a need in this lifetime to have that. Then usually there will be a way of that being introduced in our lives. We can even put things off, but it may come in at another time. So, there's a combination. We have free will, but there is also some points along the map, which are definite destinations, okay, of our life. So I hope that's kind of explained it.
No, completely. I know you touched really beautifully before on that you feel like people really struggle with believing that they are love. But I also wanted to ask you maybe if there was something else in your mind that you feel like over the years or the clients you've worked with, something that just really holds people back in life or that just really keeps them stuck. Like, do you have a particular message for those people?
Yeah, I think it does go back. First, self-awareness. Okay, who am I? Well, we're always going to be asking that question throughout our life, and that's what we're here to learn. Who are we? And what do we stand for? What are our values? And there's some things that, just actually just having a good dollop of common sense as well. It can sometimes be very interesting to me is that there's certain things that people have problems with that common sense actually should tell you how to deal with it. But, everybody may be struggling. Some people may be struggling and trying to understand what it should be. So I do get that. But it's quite interesting, sometimes you think, well, common sense would tell you maybe don't do that and then you won't suffer in that way. But people sometimes can't see it for themselves. They need someone to point it out to them. I think limiting self-beliefs, I can't do that. Oh, I can never do that. Like, I could never do this or whatever. And it's not until you try something do you know how well you can do it. You can try to do something, you can do it, but how well you can do it, you'll find that out if you try. And I do feel, you know, that self-acceptance too is loving who you are, as you are, remembering that you're perfectly imperfect, perfectly, you know, that you're not too hard on yourself. You don't judge yourself. I have a neat trick actually for if I go into judgment about something on myself, okay, or whatever. If I go into judgment about, say, I've done something, I may have said something and not mean to say it, say to my husband or to a friend or something like that. I think, oh God, Elaine, that was so terrible. You shouldn't have said it like that, you know, or maybe you should have said it a different way. And then I go, hang on a sec, don't go into judgment over yourself. And I'll start to switch myself out into, yeah, but remember you made that person laugh last week and they really do love you and you really love them. And I change the energy straight away. So I don't go into judgment. So it's kind of like where, and even if I might have a opinion about myself sometimes, you know, like, oh, Elaine, you really should lose a bit more weight, da da da, the things that us, most of us go through in life, you know. And then I just think, oh, hang on a minute, don't go into that. That's actually a judgment energy. So I actually just think, well, no, you know what? I'll get myself a healthy salad tomorrow or something like that. I'll do that. So I'll think on a positive rather than all the negative thing. So it's where you're looking at things, you're always trying to bring the energy up all the time. You're always trying to raise your vibration, you could say. So that is important. And also what I found that sometimes people often shrink themselves to fit in. That's something I've seen a lot. It's like they're not being themselves. They're shrinking themselves in order to fit in with a group or a set or with society in some way. And it's like, don't dim your light to fit in. Don't shrink. There's a wonderful passage I read somewhere about flowers do not choose to bloom depending on who walks by. They just bloom, you know. So it's like reminding us that just be ourselves. Don't switch it on just because whoever walks by is watching. So yeah, you know, that is some of the things that I find a lot, is that when people shrink themselves a bit, make themselves smaller. And also they just, the limiting self-belief, I can't do this. Mm. But possibly they could if they tried.
Yeah. Like you said, the universal energy, all things are possible. Mm. I love that. The tagline of our podcast, like what we introduce every episode with as well, is like helping you get close to your true authentic self by helping you find your feet in life. Because I think it's such a, I think, particularly in your 20s and like your teen years and stuff, you know, your younger years, it can take you a bit longer. Yeah. Like you're probably not as much your authentic self sometimes at that point, because maybe you were teased at school and you just kind of made to feel that wasn't okay. So I feel like that will resonate with probably a lot of our listeners, because that's kind of like always a goal of like all of our episodes and stuff. But you were saying, I love how much as well you do the switching, like you said, there's a negativity out there, but I just choose to not kind of look at it or pay attention to it, and because it's not really going to do anything good for me. So in terms of like
manifesting, it's a waste of my energy to go. It's a waste of my energy to go down that road. Yeah.
So in terms of manifesting, like everybody knows, like, you know, the general gist of like manifestation, that, you know, it's, you know, like thinking those better thoughts and that our thoughts create our reality and stuff like that. So for anyone listening right now that wants to basically level up their current reality, they want to manifest greater abundance, whether that's, you know, maybe financially or, you know, like some career success, or they want to manifest a loving relationship, or, you know, anything like that, more friendships, better health, more happiness, anything like that. They basically just want to up level what they're currently experiencing in life. What kind of rituals, practices, or methods would you guide them to?
Well, basically remind them that we're all energy. Of course, we know that's what we're just saying. We can manifest because we're using energy, okay, through that. So I would say when we talk about abundance, again, that's for me, it's, I always like to think that I'm in the flow of prosperity, not in poverty mind. It's two, to me, it's two, either poverty mind or the flow of prosperity. Now, I like to put myself in the flow of prosperity because that means I have more than enough. Doesn't matter on how much, it's just that I have more than enough for my daily needs, and I can, you know, go on holiday if I wish to and, you know, do whatever. So I feel that I'm in the flow of prosperity. Now, when I'm in the flow of prosperity, because it's a mindset, and I feel I have more than enough, it means that I can give to my community. If I only have just enough for me, then I can't share. I can't go and buy a car. That means the garage then has, they can have an employee that's selling the car, you know, or the tire manufacturer, the tires that are going on the car, there's people working in that plant. So that's what I talk about, the flow of prosperity, is the thing is, if I book a holiday, a baggage handler's got a job, you know, or, you know, somebody on the flight's got a job, pilot's got a job, you know, I contribute to the prosperity of others if I have more than enough. And I can choose to give to our local cats charity, for example, you know, and, or whatever, children, whatever. I have more than enough. Now, I hear a lot of people say, I don't want much, but I only want, and I'll say to them, don't be selfish. Of course you want more than enough, because then you can help your community. The community, you know, and you can go and buy a pair of shoes and somebody in a factory in Turkey or Taiwan or someone has got a job, because you've got buying power. So to me, abundance and being wealthy isn't a dirty word. It doesn't mean you're not spiritual. In fact, if you understand the principle of the flow of prosperity, you're being very spiritual because you're helping others, okay? When you have a poverty mind, it's never enough. I've never got enough. Doesn't matter if you've got 3 million in the bank, it's never enough. I think I'm going to lose it. So you don't want to attract that. So what happens is you may not suddenly find that there's no longer 3 million in your bank account, like suddenly overnight, unless somebody's raided it, of course. But you may find over the years that things go wrong. Things break down. Your car breaks down. You have to spend that money all the time to repair on it. Your boiler goes, oh my God, I've just had this new heating system put in and, you know, it's top of the line and it's failing all the time. That was when poverty mind energy starts to work. It starts to break things down. And we may still have a fair chunk, but it's slowly getting eroded by all these bits and pieces that go wrong in our life that are costing us money. So that's why when you do abundance, always put into your energy field that I'm in the flow, and see consciously every time you spend something, even if you've got to pay a bill, somebody's sitting at a computer entering the data in there, they have paid their bill, don't cut them off. Okay? You're in the flow of prosperity. And when you have that awareness, it switches. You no longer are feeling poor, you could say. You're feeling actually, I contribute. And the flow of prosperity will always flow back to you. It's not just all going out. It will flow back. It's like tides, out, in, like the breath, out, in. When it comes to loving relationships, well, I'm going to start with what I said straight away at the beginning. I am love. When we start to appreciate ourselves and we love ourselves, the mirror energy of that is other people see it too, and they see that we're worth loving. And they see or paying more attention to. And so because we have a respect for ourselves and we've upped our self-worth through the practice of I am love and knowing that, it's just our energy field is changing. It's just that and that people are going to respond to us differently. And that more people want to be your friend than be your enemy. Or if they try to put you down, they may feel, oh, God, I shouldn't have done that. And they won't do it again. You know, they'll feel guilty about it and they won't do it again. You know, it's just that, you know, you change your energy, and it does start with the self. So I find that you have more more appreciation coming from others because you are showing them that you appreciate yourself just by this energy change. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to go around telling everybody I am love. Although I do think it'd be quite funny if you're at a party and you get introduced to somebody and they said, who are you? You can just say, I am love. Or if it's a hot guy or gal, and they may say, oh yeah, great, I like that. But what's your real name? But it's having that. It is all about our energy. Career success, focus, and intention. Set intentions. I love intention. I intend to activates the willpower. And that intention could be to perhaps take a course, maybe a change of direction. Maybe I'll be more skilled, so therefore I'm more of an asset to whoever I work for. If I want to work for myself, would it be a good idea to do a postgraduate in business studies so that I can actually know about wealth creation as well as being in the flow of prosperity? Okay. So it might be that you do things. Sometimes people think, oh, I want career success. But what does it mean to get that career? How do you do that? How do you get that career success? Is it through luck? Yes, sometimes it is. You can sometimes, I've been in situations when I was in my corporate life where I've had a job created for me. You know, I went in for one job and found out I was getting another. They created something else. That can happen, of course. But it may be that you've got to understand what is career success to you. What does it mean? I'm a great believer, and I love this movie called, there's a movie on YouTube called Finding Joe, and it is about following your bliss, basically. I feel that if it floats your boat, makes you happy, you're going to be more successful in your career. Career success may not be getting to the top of the ladder. Career success could be, I really love this job I'm doing, you know. I love the people that I work with. I work with such a great team of people around. They make me laugh. It's a pleasure to go to work, even if I'm just packing sandwiches for Marks and Spencer's. I love the people I work with. And that can be career success for some people. It doesn't have to be, I have to be at the top of the corporate ladder. It's what makes you happy and the environment that you're in. And I think sometimes people get really confused with career success because a lot of them at the top of the tree sometimes are not very happy people.
Mm.
So you have to think about, you know, that, you know, I think having more awareness, more consciousness of us and our needs, our emotions, our feelings help us to make better decisions.
Yeah,
beautiful answer. I love how you went through each one there because yeah. I feel like everyone listening can take something away from each answer. They're all beautiful.
No, I was just going to say, you asked about rituals and practices and methods to guide through. Then I would say, because things like meditation are such an individual thing, and a lot of time people say, oh, I can't meditate. And I'll just say, well, create something in your life which you can call, I call it the Zen zone. So you put it in a diary if you wish to. That's my Zen zone, that half an hour every morning. And in that half an hour, I can do either a mixture of some Tai Chi, some Qigong, some meditation, Koshiki dance, or whatever, something that is creating a Zen-like feeling, okay, for yourself. Listen to some spiritual music even. Sometimes that's lovely. Just nice tinkly music or beautiful classical music. Whatever puts you in the altered state, you could say, that's quite natural, altered state. That is really, really, I think, helpful to do that. My ritual is just that I go into my heart space several times a day because I'm working with people. And I go into the heart space. I'm in the heart space anyway, totally. But I bring my awareness to it several times a day. So maybe just I clarify that. I don't feel I'm separate from it. I'm in it all the time. But I bring my awareness and I then amplify the energy by bringing awareness to it. So that's my ritual, is always to breathe in, do something called quick coherence technique, which is a heart mass technique, which I also teach people to help them with their stress levels and things like that. And I will then do you know, the energy of connecting into the love that I am. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we all need that zen zone, don't we? Especially when life gets all a bit much. Coming back to 30 minutes, 10 minutes of your zen zone, just really, for me, it just brings me back home, brings me back in alignment.
Yeah. And a really interesting thing is, because a lot of people say, I can't rest my mind. You know, I just, you know, my mind's going all the time. I can't meditate. So I have a very simple instruction to my mind when I'm going into a reflective or meditative state. I just say, rest. And because my brain is so used to me doing that now, it does. I give it the instruction, rest, because one of the things here is to understand that the mind is powerful, but it shouldn't be our master, it should be our servant. And so when we move into this energy of mastery, you could call it in life, this then is where, when you go through the energy, rest. Your mind just says, okay, I give up, I'll rest. But you're giving it absolute crisp. It's like telling a dog to sit. Mm-hmm. You can say to your dog, you say, sit. I'm just saying rest. And it gets that one word. So It may be, this is a way also to try that, to train your mind that when you say that word, it does. They say, don't they? Yeah. They say, don't they, that it actually trains, it takes about 21 days, doesn't it, to train the mind to rethink its neural pathways a little bit so that we get used to doing something. So I always say to people, at least try telling yourself I am love for 21 days, at least 21 days. You may find you'll continue for the rest of your life, and that because you notice that there's a difference being made. And if you then do this energy of rest, if you like, with your mind gets it, and within 21 days it's doing that thing. But that may be just useful for people to try.
Yeah, no, I definitely think it will.
It's like a bit of homework. Everyone's getting a little bit of homework on here now, right? 21 days, it's a 21 day Elaine plan. How about that?
No, definitely everybody at home can try that with each meditation they do. But yeah, you said there about that you're a heart math coach. I remember you saying that in our session. I was just a bit curious on what actually does that entail. And I know you spoke quite a lot about being in your heart and like your heart's intelligence. And that's something I've been tapping into like in the last year. And I've noticed massive changes. So I would love to know your take on like why the heart energy is so important.
It is basically it's the energy of the, if you think about it, when you were in your mother's womb, the first organ that developed was your heart. The brain came up later through into the stem, up through the tongue, and then, you know, formed. And the heart has cardioneural cells in it, which then developed into the brain. So the neural pathways in the brain would start forming. And so therefore, the heart was first. And we've been trained to think, you know, from perhaps the age of reason in the 17th century, that, you know, it's like the mind is everything, you know, and we came away from that feeling of heart, if you like, this energy of heart. And what science is now finding is that if we go back into this and we start operating out of the heart energy, they actually measured the electromagnetic field of the heart, and it goes out to about 2 or 3 meters. And that was because they had a measuring device that only went out that far at that time. And then when they did the electromagnetic energy of the brain, it came out to about here. So they know that this is a big field. We don't understand it all yet. That's why they're doing a lot of tests on it with the Heart Math Institute in California. This is when you start doing certain heart math techniques, what it does is you build up, if you like, an empathy between the heart and the brain. So there's a coherent communication going on between the two by doing certain breathing techniques and visualization, because that's what it is. It's breath and visualization. And when you do that, they've measured how your heart rate variability is a lot, if you like, a lot more even It's not jagged. It's not, it helps, you know, help people with stress. It can help people with high blood pressure if we go into more coherent states. And then the other thing they found with this is that it built up what they called an inner reserve bank of, you could say, resilience. There we go. Resilience. So that when life situations, which at times can be challenging, present themselves in your life, that you actually then can deal with it much better. You're in a much more resilient state. This is a calmer energy that you can take on the problem, not be reactive, be more responsive. So it actually helps open up your ability to control emotion as well. And when you're in this state, you then, because when you're anxious, you produce more cortisol. So there's that chemical that's going through the body, it makes us even more anxious. But when you're in a more coherent state, you actually produce something called DHEA, which is a rejuvenating hormone, which I'm sure all of us that want to look younger, it actually does help you to look younger. And because it's cell rejuvenation that's going on. So it's a natural byproduct of doing heart math and perhaps any meditative state. I'm not just going to say it's heart math, but especially if you're doing something that connects in with the energy of the heart, then it is producing this rejuvenative or regenerative hormone. So when I'm working with people with heart math, basically we would work to just learn various methods that produces the kind of effect that makes us go through life less stressful, basically more in control, more as I said, responsive, not so reactive. Reactive can sometimes bring more stress, but it's very, you know, it's part of my work. So I work with people not only intuitively and psychically through the tarot, but I'm also got my other part of my business is to be a heart math coach and help people, give them some techniques that they can then move into to use on their everyday of their life in any situation. You don't have to close your eyes to use the techniques, which is a bonus, because you may be having to go into a very important meeting at work, say, and you could use the techniques before you go in. Just if you've got to deliver something, if you've got to present something, heart math techniques are really great for putting you in a very good space. And when you're doing this energy of the heart, the audience tends to really react differently to you as well. They're listening. There's something called coherent listening that goes on. And then they're paying attention to what you're saying, and they're more positively responsive to what you're saying as well.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Is that, you know what you say in the coherence, is that like, do you look at what Dr. Joe Dispenza does? Because, you know, he talks quite a lot about brain, heart, coherence.
He trained as a heart math coach.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about, you know, when he's, and I started to do heart math because I was going out to New Mexico in America to go and see Bruce Lipton and Greg Braden. They're all mates. The three of them are on the circuit together. They call themselves the Three Amigos. And it's when they were talking, this is like obviously pre-COVID, that I was going out there and listening to this really interesting spiritual science, because that's what I like. I'm not fluffy. I like to combine, you know, people that really studied and researched. And they're talking about something that really is usable in everyday life for people. Not everyone wants to go and, you know, have wave sage all over the place and, you know, and have, you know, lots of crystals. I love them all, by the way. But, you know, not everyone, shamanic bling or spiritual bling, you know, not everybody wants all that. Some people, you know, they want to, you know, that's not for them. But they want the information. They're still eager to learn and to evolve and to be more aware and conscious. So those people, you know, that to me, that they really appeal to me. Those people like Joe Dispenza and Greg Braden and Bruce Lipton and all these people that are you could say lead us in new thought, new consciousness, if you like.
Yeah, they're really interesting.
No, I should say I've been very fortunate in, you know, that I had, you know, that the start in life, you could say, with my mother being very interested in all this. And also when I've lived in America, I did many courses there and I would see lots of people that were, you know, you were doing amazing channeling of information. And curiously enough, and I joke about this, I know that Joe Dispenza was probably in the audience that I was in the 80s, in when I lived in California, listening to some of this work, because a lot of this is not new. It's all stuff that's just being represented and repackaged for a new audience. And so it should, because, you know, people need to learn in different ways all the time. But a lot of the stuff that's out there now, I was listening to back when I was in my 20s. When I was living in California, but it's now being represented, and and because more people want this information now, it's not just to a few people that were interested and probably thought were a bit out there and wacky. Now it's becoming more mainstream.
Yeah, no, definitely. You've got to. You only connect, like, hear the message from certain people, like depending on who you are and what you like. Like, exactly. I know that. Yeah, I know that Roxy Nafusi is like someone that you do tarot with, like read her tarot and stuff, but she's like a great example of that, of someone who's brought like the concept of manifestation, which obviously is not a new concept, but she's packaged up in this really beautiful way that's very
fabulous
to understand.
Fabulous. Roxy's a great gal. She really is, and she's walking her talk. And you know, her book Manifest, I think, you know, encourage everyone to buy it, because it is a really great tool. Yeah. It's a tool to have in life and to know how to do this.
Yeah, no, it's really good. It was before she brought the book out, I like went to one of her workshops. This was like in COVID time, like at the start, and she was reading the seven steps. That's what the workshop was. And then obviously she put it into a book, and just hearing her break it down, I'd heard manifestation from millions of people before that, but the way that she worded it, I just got it, and then you can take it and, you know, actually practice it into your life. So yeah, I think she's such a great example of how, because a lot of people connect with her, like a lot of people that maybe weren't interested in things like that before, understanding from her. So
I work with a lot of people that have been to her workshops, and you know, and that for them, you know, they've said it's been quite life transforming for them. You know, and fabulous. We need more women that are really willing to put themselves on the line and say these things and get out into the mainstream, so that people just see beyond the mundane. They see into realms of possibility.
Because she's on like, you know, she goes on mainstream TV shows like This Morning and stuff like that, and he's talking about manifestation when maybe 10 years ago, 5 years ago, people that they wouldn't have wanted to talk to someone on the TV about that, because they thought, I don't know what you're talking about, like that's too woo-woo, but in a way that, you know, people aren't, you know, feel like they want to just push it away. So we've had such a great chat, Elaine, so dived into like so many amazing different topics and things and tips and all this stuff. So we just wanted to end with like a couple like really quick fire questions to just wrap up. What is, like, I know you've kind of said like what you think holds people back and stuff, but what is one thing that you wish everyone listening right now knew?
That this is the life that you have right now, the life that you are, like I am Elaine, okay? This is the one life you're going to have as Elaine. I'm going to have as Elaine. So my recommendation is for people to really live the best life they can, to be happy, to go and to think, well, does this make me happy? No. What are you doing it for then? You know, are you doing it to please others because they expect it of you? My family, you know, they've saved a lot of money for me to go to university and do this, and I don't want to do it. You know, think, is this going to make you happy? You know, your duty, your first duty is to yourself. And so that's what I would say, you know, what makes you happy? That's why I said that video, Finding Joe, is really quite a nice video, actually.
We'll link that in the show notes.
Yeah, I'm curious, but no, beautiful advice.
Yeah.
The next question is, what do you love to do when you're not doing your tarot or working?
I love to read. I am I'm in the process of starting a book right now, just getting all the synopsis down. I've got somebody in America that's asked me to write a book, and I'm for them. So I'm in the process of that. But that's still work, I guess you could say. For me, for my relaxation is hanging out with my friends and just, you know, loving life, you know, and I love living in I'm in Ibiza here and live in a lovely place in the countryside in Ibiza, far from the maddening crowd, I might add. But it's I have a blessed life. I really do. I've got wonderful friends. And, yeah, hanging out with them is kind of great. And laughing. Laughter, the best medicine. Mm-hmm. So, really, I do that. So that's really, that. I don't go out, you know, like a lot of people would do. If they live in Ibiza, they might go to the clubs and things like that. I don't, big crowds, not for me. You know, maybe 20, 25 years ago, but not now, certainly not now. Just enjoying my life, being with my family, with my animals and my friends.
Yeah.
So that's the things that I really enjoy. They're the things that are heart to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. And then the final question is, what is a book you feel intuitively called to recommend to our audience?
Only one.
Oh, well, whatever you want, as many as you like.
Well, I will recommend Roxy's Manifest book, because I do think from the feedback I get from people I work with, it's really helping them a lot. So absolutely would recommend that. The Game of Life and How to Play It, Florence Scovel Shinn, Shinn. Really good book. And Billy Fingers, Afterlife of Billy Fingers, Annie Kagan. If you want to know about the spiritual journey, the journey of the soul, not just when we leave here, but also the decisions we make before we actually come here. It's actually quite a nice read. You can read it really quickly, and it gives you some aha, okay. And it means that you can go into a sense of acceptance about your life also.
Yeah.
Because you think things are happening randomly to you, but they're not.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved reading that book. I think you recommended it to me because I was saying to you, why have I got a relationship like this with this person, my family? And you were like, read this book. And then it started to make sense. We'll put all the titles of those books and stuff in the show notes so that people can easily go and find them and get themselves a copy. Sure.
And if they go to my website, they can also take a look at, I've got a recommendations page, and I've got lots of books in there. Some I haven't forgotten to put, I haven't put in there yet, but I will do very shortly because I've been looking at it. I must put those books in. But there's a load of books in there for people to look at and video suggestions.
So. Yes, we'll put your website in the show notes as well. But where else can everybody find you, and you know, how can people come and work with you, have a tarot session, or have you got anything coming up that you want to mention? I know you're obviously writing a book. I don't know if it's too soon to talk about that, but anything that
that's to come. next year, watch this space. You can find me on Facebook, of course, and Instagram, Elaine Mary Collins. On my website, you can book in to see me to have a Zoom session, because I work a lot on Zoom with people around the world. And if you are in Ibiza, and you can always contact me, you can always message me through my website. But I would say not a last minute, because my lead time at the moment is about 6 weeks to see me. So sometimes six weeks, sometimes 2 months. So it's kind of like a good idea. If you know you're coming, book ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If you want to see me in person. And on another little footnote is that I may well be moving from Ibiza next year and looking to move to Menorca. Still in the Blairics, but yes, I'm kind of checking that out. So I just thought I'd share that with you as well. So maybe if you're coming to Menorca for a holiday, yeah, you might want to see me there. But I am coming back to Ibiza a bit back and forwards because I do have work commitments and things with people. So
yeah.
Amazing. Well, we'll definitely link all that, and obviously we highly, highly recommend that everyone goes to the reading because they are very life-changing. But thank you so much for everything you've shared today. It's honestly been really beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you so much again, both of you, for inviting me here, and also you know, it's been lovely. Thank you very much. Very lovely experience.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We really, really hope you enjoyed this episode with Elaine. Definitely go and check her out. If you're interested in her work, we would highly, highly recommend a reading with her.
We've left the links to follow Elaine on Instagram, link to her website, and all the books and videos and stuff that we mentioned today in the show notes, so you can go follow her, get involved, book yourself a tarot reading. She, like she said, she's very busy. Mm. So you want to get it scheduled in now if you're feeling like you want to do this, because she gets booked up really fast. And like we said, we've had sessions with her and she's absolutely unbelievable. It was so fun. I'm definitely going to do another one, I think, in January. So I'm going to get mine booked in pretty soon for that. So yes, hope you enjoyed it, guys. We will be back next Wednesday, as usual, putting out another episode. If you're new here, we release episodes every single Wednesday. And keep up with us on our social medias at Find Your Feet Podcast on Instagram and TikTok to find out when the new episode's coming out and what's coming out, and just see what we're up to. And if you want to follow our personal social medias as well, that's also linked in the show notes.
Yes, and if you love this episode, then please go ahead, send it to your friends, send it to your family, anyone who you think would enjoy it. And if you also loved it, we would love if you could leave an Apple Podcast review or a rating on Spotify. But that is all for now. Thank you so much for listening, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you.